Blog Talk Radio.
Are you ready? No longer will I let you clowns out to trick me. They wanna lock me up, they wanna Michael Vick me. Give me a government order, vaccine make me sickly. This world is not what it seems, past Officer Ricky. All the gays in the industry with more secrets than Vicky. A menage of sin, they all chasing Nicky. Straight to the devil's door, cause hell isn't picky. Let's say the game is fair, definitely hard. You like that movie with Nicky. Number one on your bucket list. Jesus coming back like a thief in the night. Uh-oh, uh-oh, eh, 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 eh. Jesus coming back like a thief in the night. Uh-oh, uh-oh, eh, 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 eh. The king is coming back. The king is coming back. The king is coming back. Are you ready? The king is coming back. The king is coming back. The king is coming back. Are you ready? Catholic, the highway to hell is full of so much traffic. The devil's looking at us, sitting back and laughing, cause we're following everything the world could imagine. How can we be holy? We're following idols. We're lost in the details of corruptible titles. They want to turn the good news into a bad report. Good versus evil, a religious sport. We got pictures of a white Jesus that's on the wall, praying to Mary like she the one that started it all. Having for an angel who started to fall, getting mad at God, thinking he didn't answer the call. Lies need you, homie, they treat us like a crutch. The truth is all required, a lie will never hush. The things we do nowadays will make the devil blush. Death is coming for you, and it's in a rush. Jesus coming back like a thief in the night. Uh-oh, uh-oh.
Coming back like a thief in the night. Uh-oh, uh-oh, eh, 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 eh. Coming back like a thief.
Well, hello. Welcome once again to our Weekly Internet program. I'm your host, Minister Joy Lewis, and you are listening to Free on the Inside, Internet program to inform you, to encourage you, and to challenge you to be all you could be in Christ Jesus. I want to thank you once again for supporting this program. We come on each Saturday morning from 8 to 9. We have great guests. We have great topics. And we also have great supporters of this show. Thank you very much. And the call-in number to this program is 310-982-4126. That number again is 310-982-4126. We'd like to thank Beverly Beasley and Granny Place for sponsoring this program each and every week for the last several years there. Beverly Beasley is the CEO and the founder and of Granny's Place Ministry. Granny Place Ministry is a nonprofit ministry that's reaching out to our young men and women at risk. And Granny Place Ministry have established a mentoring program, life skill courses, job placement, after school program. And this morning, Granny Place Ministry and that staff will be over at the Crestview Apartments in the Oak Cliff area, introducing them to Granny Place and letting them know about the things that Granny Place have in store for them. We'll be introducing them to our mentoring program, to our life skill courses, and also helping them with financial advice and getting them set up with some resources that can benefit them and their families. And so we ask you to continue to pray for Granny Place. Give us a call or go to our website and see what Granny Place is up to. And you, too, can be a volunteer and help change a life. You know, I don't say that lightly. Help change a life. You know, we can't do anything apart from God. But Jesus told us to go ye therefore and tell somebody about the good news. He said, hey, when you are strengthened, you're the strength of your brother. I don't know what you've been through, but guess what? God saw you through. And I like to just say thank you and Happy New Year to each and every one of you. Last week we had a short program because of some things that happened over here, over at the studio. But this week we got our full hour to just talk to you and encourage you to be strong in the Lord. We don't have any guests this morning because what I want to do is what I didn't do last week was run some excerpts of our past show to just bring back to your remembrance. And we pray that you've been ignited about what you're hearing, that you said, hey, I want to be a part of what's going on here. So we're going to go through our archive section and we're going to play some short interviews, just bring back to your remembrance. And one interview I like to play is from Brother Miguel. Brother Miguel wrote a book. He's no longer with us now. He passed on, but he was a great supporter of this program. And his book was titled Finishing in Four. And he was wrote a little short manual of how to a complete college in just 4 years. You know, a lot of times we take it for granted, but he told me, and I come to the realization that some people don't finish college in 4 years. Matter of fact, I had a friend that went 12 years to get a bachelor, man, and Miguel said, hey, he could have shortened that time, but because finances, because he wasn't sure about some of the classes, he said one of the setbacks is always changing your majors, you know, so we need to be mindful of those things when we're talking to our young men and women about going to school and career opportunities. But Miguel is going to come and he's going to share with us some things concerning finishing in four. Then we're going to play some more short interviews that we had done. And we'll give you some background scenes of our interview. You know, Miguel was very gifted and talented. Miguel was from New York. And the first time I met Miguel, our spirit just connected, you know. And he used to call me and say, hey, Brother Lewis, how you doing? You know, we would just be talking. And he sent me a copy of his book, Autograph. So, and I really appreciate that. And so he was a great supporter of the show. He's surely being missed on this program here. But he was very wise in education. As a matter of fact, he was a teacher and a director of his school. And so he had really a good insight on the structure and the makeup of a college environment and some of the courses that need to be taken and how to manage those courses. So right now at this time, we're going to go ahead and bring Mr. Miguel in, and he'll be talking to us about his book, Finishing in Four, and then afterwards I'll come back and we'll do another interview with someone else. And people a loss. You know, they trying to figure out what to do. So, will you please reintroduce yourself and tell us about your book?
Okay. Well, the book that I've written is called Finish in Four, and it's 10 steps to graduating college in 4 years. And the whole purpose of the book is to help incoming college students to have a plan, have a 10-step plan to be able to graduate school in 4 years. Unfortunately, most students who start college do not finish in 4 years. The national average right now is actually, and get ready for this, Joel, it's only 50% actually finish in 6 years. So it normally takes students 6 years to graduate, and only about 50% of those students actually do it in 6 years. The rest of the students either take longer than 6 years or don't graduate at all. It's very common for colleges to have four-year completion rates that are like 30% of the students, 25% of the students graduate in 4 years. This is something that's not publicized. It's something that a lot of universities don't necessarily like to discuss for obvious reasons. It's a problem. I mean, I would dare say it's epidemic. And I think it's just recently that our public officials and people in, at the universities and administrators and faculty have seen this as a big problem. One of the big issues now is, I know when I was going to school, if you didn't finish in 4 years, you know, oh well. You know, you felt like, you know, college is your time to explore. You know, you take a little longer. You know, the economy was good. You know, it wasn't that big of a deal. It wasn't, at least it wasn't looked at as a problem if you didn't necessarily finish in four. But today, the whole game has changed. And with the economy that we're in today and with the dynamic that students are paying so much more money to go to school with school loans and higher tuition and just, I mean, the whole thing has just become a lot more costly to go to college. So nowadays it's just not prudent for students to waste time in college longer than they have to be there. So it has become almost completely necessary for a student to think about graduating college on time and being able to use their time effectively while they're in school in order to get the most out of college while they're in there, but again, graduating college on time. So that's what the book is all about. I originally wrote the book in 2010. I was working as a student retention coordinator at East Stroudsburg University in Pennsylvania. I have, you know, my background is I've done student recruitment. I've worked with veterans at universities. I've done student retention. So I've worked in a lot of different kind of jobs at the university, all trying to help students to graduate college in one way, shape, or form. But at the time, I was tasked with sort of helping the students at East Stroudsburg University to graduate, you know, on time, to graduate hopefully in 4 years. Our retention rate was not great, and we wanted to do something about it. And so one of my first tasks was to try to think of some ways to help the students. And I immediately thought, well, let me get a book that'll help these students to that they can read, that a nice short book that they won't mind reading that we can give to our incoming freshmen, and we can sort of help them to start thinking about graduating college in 4 years, and so they don't take it for granted that they're going to do this. So I searched and I searched and I searched. I went on Amazon and I searched and I went to Barnes and Nobles and I just kept looking for a book that would be able to give me the information that I needed to transfer to the students. And, you know, I couldn't find a book out there. So, you know, I spoke to my bosses and the folks there at East Strasburg, and I said, you know what, the book's not there, so I'm going to go ahead and write it. And that's what I did. I spent 2010 writing the book, and this past May we published it. So it's been exciting, Joel. I'll say that.
Yes, it has been. And you know, and as I was thinking about the book there, you know, as you're doing your research, you notice that the needs and the purpose hadn't changed over the years.
No, you know what? It's kind of funny, but the retention rate, and when I say retention, I mean, you know, it's a you know, administrative term, college administrative term, where, you know, we're trying to retain students, we're trying to keep students at the university and graduate them. But retention rates have not changed in the past 30 years or something like that. So
exactly,
you know,
yes,
we're not. We've done a really good job of helping students to get to college. I'll say that. We have. I was, you know, in the forefront of student recruitment. I actually worked with, you know, general population of students as well as minority students. And I've worked in the inner cities and with disadvantaged students, helping them to go to college. And, you know, in our country and our colleges have really done a good job in opening up the doors to a college education for everyone. There is no argument there. I know at East Strasburg, they made big strides in recruiting minority students and helping minority students to come into the university and increase those rates of minority students and first-generation college students and young ladies. We've done a wonderful job with young ladies going to college now. You know, to be quite frank, women are, you know, top men in college, you know, going to college. I mean, nowadays it's not uncommon that there'll be 60% women in an incoming class and 40% men. I mean, you know, that's not strange. So we've done some really good work helping students to get to college. Unfortunately, we haven't spent as much time or effort in helping them to graduate. And that's where I think the next step I think that's going to be the forefront of the battle for the next years to come. Is okay, now we you know, students know they need to get to college these days. It's not like when I was 20, 30 years ago where you can actually, or even 40, 50 years ago where you can actually get a job without going to college. These days it's almost a prerequisite that you get a college degree. So
yes, it is.
Since that's the case, you want to make sure we want to make sure as administrators and even the students themselves, we want to make sure that they spend their time wisely. So, we wrote Finish in Four, and we published Finish in Four because it wasn't out there. There was nothing out there like it. There still isn't anything out there like it. I have, in my research, I've searched in all the different books out there. Most books are either geared towards academics, you know, it's folks that are faculty or administrators, or, you know, they talk about the subject of retention rates. But there's no book out there that's actually a guide to the actual student. And I'll tell you, working with college students, they're students. They're young people. They wouldn't want to necessarily read a big old textbook about, you know, how to graduate college in 4 years. You want something quick, you want something easy. The book was created to be able to be read on an iPad or read on your smartphone. It's only 64 pages, and half of those pages are these beautiful pictures that we have. So it's a very short, quick read, but it packs a big punch, and it gets to the gist of the issue and helping the student number one, I mean, the biggest, the longest chapter is chapter one, which is, you know, having a plan to graduate college in 4 years. And this is one of the things that I realize is that most students, you know, they come in as freshmen, and, you know, they're all excited and ready for school, and you know they're smart already. They're in college, so academically they shouldn't have an issue. But they don't. They're not necessarily thinking of how can I graduate college in 4 years. That's not the number one thought that a college student comes in to college. Some do, but most don't. Most are thinking about, you know, their classes. They're thinking about tuition. They're thinking about partying, which is, you know. You know, that's common. They're thinking about girls, they're thinking about boys, but they're not thinking about, you know what, how can I get the most out of my college education, as well as graduate on time. So this is something that if you're a parent or if you're someone that has, that, you know, if you know someone that is going to college, this is a great book to get them right at the beginning of their college journey. So maybe when they graduate high school, maybe when, you know, right before, you know, they get on that bus to go to college in August, you know, this is a great book for them to read on the way up to school or read, you know, during that first week of school. So it'll set their minds to being successful and what kind of game plan they need to have. I mean, in every aspect of life, if you're going to be successful, you have to have a plan. And, you know, having a plan to graduate college and finishing college on time is no different. I mean, if you don't have a plan, then you're probably not going to do it. And so that is, I think, the most important chapter in the book. The other chapters are very important as well, but having a plan is just pinnacle to being able to be successful in college. If you don't, college is very, and this is something else I tell my students, and when I get a chance to speak to students and talk to them about, you know, being successful in college, I say college is very different than high school. In high school, basically, if you show up and you pass your classes, they're going to guide you through that process. And you're going to be successful. All you have to do is show up and, you know, behave and pass your classes. And they have it all plotted out for you. It's, you know, it's fairly easy. But college is not like that. College is you are in the driver's seat. If you don't show up to class, you don't show up to class, and there's not going to be anybody knocking at your door or you know, sending necessarily letters home to your parents. You know, you're an adult, and to a large degree, your parent is not responsible for you as, you know, as far as the college is concerned. So, therefore, you know, it's all up to you. So you sink or swim based on what you do. And if you don't show up to class, if you don't do your work, if you stay up late the previous night and decide to skip class in the morning, and you know, if you just don't do the right thing, you will suffer the consequences, and there won't be anybody. There's no real safety net there to help you at most universities.
Hey, that was an interview from Mr. Miguel. I hope you enjoyed that interview. That he said you'll pay the consequences. Because of your shortcoming and your mishap, because you're unable to finish in the allotted time. But we realize there's other things that's involved in that. But he gave us some good insight on that, on how to finish college in 4 years. That's a great book. The book is still available. Go to YouTube and to Amazon and just type in Miguel, M-I-G-U-E-L, and you'll see his picture, and then you'll see the book saying Finishing in Four, Guide to Finishing College. We're going to go on with our short interviews of some of our previous shows here. We said we like to think this is the best of, because I really enjoyed interviewing these particular men and women. They had a lot to offer, and I was very honored that they would spend part of their mornings with me. And we're going to pull up another great artist in support of the show here. This is Miss Vera Squire. She's an author. She wrote a book about called Black Gumbo, a story of New Orleans in ruins. And we know that we came up on the 10th year of Hurricane Katrina, and we had Mrs. Vera. She was on here, and she gave us an insight on. She was actually in the midst of the storm, that she was part of the evacuees that left New Orleans just in time before they shut it down and the levees broke. And so she have a passion for that city. Now she's been transplanted to Dallas, but her heart is still in New Orleans. And she has several books that she authored, and she's going to share part of that there with us this morning.
Blog Talk Radio.
Your call-in number is 310-982-4126. You two can call in and voice your opinion, give your comments regarding any of the guests and any of the shows that we done had. And just be mindful that this is about ministry. We're encouraging other men and women to be strong in ministry. And just last night, me and the ministry team, well, I'm associated with a brother Raul and the Breath of Life Mission that's located in the southern part of town. We do a street ministry 2 days a week on Friday nights from 4 to 6, and then on Sundays afternoon from 2 to 6. And so we was over to the street ministry on that Friday night, and we was over there ministering and encouraging the men and women to be strong in the Lord, that the Lord hadn't forgot about them. And we're telling them that the same God that watched over them last year is the one that's able to watch over them this year. But they have to believe, and they have to have faith in God. And also they have to put themselves in a position to change, you know, because God, we serve a changing God. Our God, he doesn't change what his precepts and principles are, but he changes our way of life. So we have to be able to say, God, I need you to help me navigate through life. I need you to help me to get me out of this situation here. And guess what? God will, because Jesus asked people as he was doing his earthly ministry, hey, do you want to be made whole? Do you want these things to happen? And they said, yes, yes, yes. And some of them said, no, I couldn't do it. But if you ask for it, and with a right motive and a pure heart, those things will come about. And I just like to encourage you to continue to support ministry. Each one of us is attached to different ministries. I'm saying that all of us, because even if you're not involved in an active ministry, your life is a ministry. When you go to your stores and when you go shopping, when you go to work, people read you before they read anything you have to say about God. So I just encourage you to just continue to work your ministry. Now at this time, we have Miss Vera Squire. She's going to come on, and we're going to talk about her book, Amen, Black Gumbo, New Orleans, A City in Ruins. Next for us, your hero will be Miss Vera Squire. I'd like to bring on our guest this morning, Ms. Vera. She wrote a couple of books. Matter of fact, she wrote 3 books, great novels, and we're going to bring her on here, and she's going to share her experiences and what she's attempting to accomplish in her novels and her book of poetry. Good morning. You're on the net.
Oh, good morning.
Welcome to our show, Vera. We're happy to have you aboard, and please introduce yourself and tell us about your writing and your book of poetry.
Yes, sir. Well, Brother Lewis, my name is Vera Squire, and I'm the author of Soul to Soul of Inspiration, Black Gumbo, The Healing of a City in Ruins, August 29, 2005, and a short story about Eve, It Was Not an Apple. Well, in those books, they are two of my books are poetry books, that Soul to Soul and also Black Gumbo, and it was written in 2005 and published in 2006. And the second book was written in 2007, but was published in 2009. And the third was published in 2012. So I'm excited about this book.
Hey, man, that sounds great. Now tell us, what's the inspiration behind these soul-to-soul inspirational writings? How did that come about?
It came about after the devastation of the hurricane. After that day, I was moved to write the story. It just affected me just that much. And I just wanted to write down my feelings and also others, how the way they were affected by the hurricane.
Now, the hurricane that you're talking about is the one in New Orleans, right?
Oh, yes,
so
sir. I'm sorry.
Yeah, go right ahead. Tell me what life was like for you before, a couple of days before the hurricane, and then during the encounter of the hurricane and afterwards.
Okay, life was like for me, before the hurricane, I was working two jobs, and it's, I'm not bragging, but I was working, and I had one that was working in a deli, and this was, you know, and on the weekend I did the CNA work at a nursing home, and it just was pleasant, and I was paying my bills, everything was okay, until one day this happened, and I just, it's unbelievable, my life is just on a dramatic change, and I lost everything. And this was mind-boggling, but it was an effect on my life as well.
And as you were saying, you lost everything. You know, your faith was the one that kicked in to hold you during this terrible time or deal in your life.
If it wasn't for God on my side, I don't know where I would be. And I had enough. I just don't know. If I wouldn't have had God, I don't think I would have made it. It was the faith and the holding to Jesus, leaning on his everlasting arm that kept me standing and kept me firm.
Now, when did you find out that you had the skill of writing in your life? Because we're going to go back and we want you to share some of your writing with us. But what was the earliest age that you said, hey, I enjoy this and I really enjoy what I'm doing?
You know, Brother Lewis, it was ironic. When I was a little child, I picked up a book and my mother had it, and it was by Langston. And ever since I wrote, I had heard his poem, I read his poem, and I saved it, and I said, this sounds good. And then I started reading after that a lot of poems. But it didn't kick in until the age of 17 when I just really loved poetry writing. I just loved writing poems. And I think that's where my inspiration came for after school and everything. But I really, really did more deeper into writing poems. I just love it.
What do you get your inspiration from as you write your poetry? I know we get it from a lot of sources, but for our listening audience, how would you develop a poetry a sense?
Believe it or not, Proverbs, the Bible. And I'm not saying it to make myself even Proverbs, I'm more than anyone. It's just like I just love the Bible, but I love Proverbs. And ever since then, I just love that type of wording and how the way it worded, and just took it from there. I just love writing poetry. Most of my poetry consists of spiritual poetry and spiritual poems, and that's where I get my inspiration from, the Bible.
Hey, man, that is so great. And we know, I ask you that because our young people, that they struggle with their career and trying to find their self-worth in life. We want them to know that God could use them right where they are with the writing and the songs and the things that they have learned throughout their brief life and how their goals, you know, the things they pursue. The world try to point you in one direction, but God has a greater plan for you.
Yes, and that's where it came from, and for us to be encouraged. I encourage all young people as well as old to just get out there, find your dreams, follow your hearts of hearts, and dig deep into what your talent is and share it with the world, because it may have an impact on a lot of people. You never know.
Yes, it will, yes. And tell me now about your book, your first book here. So how many pieces of poetry are you having that you think? Just right off the top of your head.
76.
Oh, it is. Well, that's great to say you're honored. You know what you got there. Hey, that's great. I'm looking at your cover now. It's a beautiful cover there. And, you know, I'm looking at the cover, it kind of relaxes you. You know, it's kind of like, oh, put you in a good frame of mind. So,
Now,
how did you, what did you do to develop your talent? Did you go to school or just a God gift?
It's a God gift.
That's great. That's great, because we know that, you know, and God fine tunes things too. But basically, it's a God gift. So I'm glad you shared that with us, because some people need to know this. Say, oh, I don't have the proper education. Well, guess what? None of us have that proper education to do some of the things that we're doing. You know, we just have to be doing it. But God blesses it, you know, if it be His will.
Uh-huh.
And that's what our show is all about. Now, will you please continue to share your inspirational writings with us regarding Black Gumbo?
Okay, now Black Gumbo, now this particular book, it's a long title. It's Black Gumbo, The Healing of a Sitting Wound, August 29, 2005. This book was published, like I said, in 2009 by Publisher America. In fact, all three of my books are published by Publisher America. It's a book of poetry also, and it shows the different ways the hurricanes took the city by storm. Literally, you know, this book of poetry stands on hope as well, and the hope of the healing process that is still going on today. This book opens up with my view of New Orleans, and the next page consists of the views of Hurricane Katrina. And if you don't mind, I would like to read part of what I said about the book of things like Gumbo about the hurricane.
Go right ahead.
Okay, it is. In this book of poems, you will read how the devastation impacted the hurricane had took upon the city. Although it's not their first or our first devastating hurricane, because in 1965 there was a hurricane called Betsy. It too wreaked havoc on the city, but not to this caliber, only to a certain degree. Because Hurricane Betsy was a Category 3 hurricane. I explained it all in the book. But in this book, Black Gumbo, every page tells the story of how the hurricane affected our lives.
Amen, amen. That's powerful. Now, tell me, now you're in Dallas, Texas right now, right?
Yes, Brother.
Now, are you planning on going back to New Orleans and the stay, or do you go back to New Orleans from time to time? What is your connection with New Orleans? Do you still have that connection?
Yes, I had went back to New Orleans in 2010. I went there, stayed for about 9 months. I stayed to see how everything was, you know, and visit my family because some of my people are still back there. And I just stayed for a while, but I enjoyed, well, I've seen some of the things that rebuilt and is much better than what it was. And like the Joy Theater is up and running, the French Quarters, the people are coming back to New Orleans to visit. Got lots of tourists, and things are kind of looking up. And I commend them on a fantastic job because you have to keep rebuilding. You know, you just can't let everything just die down and let it go away. And this is how the way we love New Orleans. And I think, yeah, I'll come back, you know, visit from time to time. I love New Orleans, but I'm here in Dallas, and I'm loving Texas right now. I'm sorry, but I'm loving Texas.
Amen. Now, I tell you what, now, would you care to share some of your poetry regarding your soul inspirational writing? I think our audience would love to hear a couple of pieces of that if you have a desire to share with us.
Okay, one, the first poem is about life after Hurricane Katrina. This is from the book, Soul to Soul of Inspiration. It goes like this. Life is life. Sunrise and sunset. When you wake up in the morning, still don't know the fullness of the whole day. You might think you're in control of it all or know it all, but all in all, there is someone who made us all and knows all about it. Reach out and touch him? No, not with your hands, only with your heart. Because of the thick and thin of life that unfolds each chapter that takes its soul on the back-breaking, mind-bending work that shows only on the sweat of our brow, collectively, is automatically skipped over to a man who holds the whole book in the palm of his hand.
Yes, go right ahead. Oh, that's beautiful there.
And you want me to do one more?
Yes, ma'am. Please do.
Okay, this one is called Hurricane Katrina and Her Twin Sister Rita.
Okay, go right ahead.
The year 2005 came in with its hard-hitting blows and its catastrophic woes that took our lives that were once on a steady floor. I know that's the way life goes when you're looking up and down instead of straight ahead. But head on, it came in like tons of liters, packed in waves and tossing them down at our feet that dampen our spirits, but not our hope, because now we look beyond the sky to rebuild our lives from the rubble that was once tore up from the flow up. and this peace, we are to embrace the vigilant array of sunlight that darkened black skies. But in the year of 2005, I always remember the devastating blows of Hurricane Katrina and her twin sister Rita.
Oh, that was beautiful. That was beautiful. And we'll just like to take a break here and just inform our audience on what we're doing here. So just hold on for just a moment as we make this here break here.
Good morning. My name is Gray Bunn, and I am 11 years old. You're listening to Free on the Inside, my papa, Diggy Joe Lewis.
And you are listening to the inspirational poetry of Vera. One of her books, Soul of Soul, Inspirational Writing. And also she have another book that she's sharing with us, Black Gumbo, the story of the hurricane in New Orleans. And we would like for you to join in the conversation. You can call us at 1-310-982-4126. Again, that number is 1-310-982-4126. It's a toll-free number, and you too could join in the conversation. Also, ask our author some questions, and also encourage our author to keep doing what she's doing, because, you know, her gift is just not for her, but it's for all the listeners, and we thank her for sharing her gift with her. And as we get back into the conversation, please feel free to give us a call, and as we're talking, we'll see you on the switchboard, and we'll just allow our author to finish expressing her thoughts, and then we'll bring you right in. Now, Miss Vera, as you were sharing that right there, I had a sense of awakening that I was almost there in the midst of what you was writing. You have a very vivid way of expressing yourself through writing, and I know that other people have been listening, and they have been blessed by your poetic thoughts as you put them on paper.
Thank you.
Now, tell me, as you was writing the book, how difficult was it? Was it a challenge to get your books published? Because sometimes people say, I want to do this, but I don't know how.
Let me tell you what happened, Brother Lewis. Then I was, during the time of the hurricane, we all had to go to the FEMA building. You know, New Orleans, we had to venture out, and they told us we need to go to the FEMA building and get some assistance, or nobody have to live, you know, for these until it's time to get back on our feet. And I talked to a lady at the FEMA building, and I said, "Do you want to read some of my poems I've written?" I said, "It was after the hurricane, I've written some of these poems." And she said, "Sure." And she read it, and she said, "I got something for you." And she gave me a publisher name called Publisher America. She took it off the computer and online, I guess, and just printed it out, gave it to me. She said, "You have enough poems, submit a manuscript to them after you get it copyrighted and take it from there and see if they like your poems." And I only had 15 poems at the time. And I said, and it took like a few months. I just didn't know nothing else. After that, I said, "I'm sitting, but you know, see what's gonna be what." And after about 3 months or so, they wrote me back and they said, "Write more poems. We like what you're saying."
Oh, that's powerful. Nobody but God.
Oh yes. And after that, I wrote more poems. And they said, "In order for it to be a book, you need poems." There's 50 or more, 30, 50 or more. Write some poems, and I wrote some poems and wrote more poems. And they said, "We like it. Here's the contract. You're going to do this book." And it said, "Sounds good. You know, take it from there." And these people are free publishers. It's not something you pay a whole lot of money to get published, because I know some people do that, but they submit your manuscript, you know, free. And you just go ahead and write what you have to write and send it in. And that's one of them that I know is free. But I had more than them, you know. I had Dorian published also. And Dorian said, "Oh, yeah, $5,000. I mean, it's good." I said, "Well, I have $5,000, so I'm going to go to Publish America."
Oh, that's a blessing. And, you know, and you were sharing that story that, you know, you could see God's hand at work in that. You know,
mm-hmm.
because here you are, you just writing from your heart, and you've been able to bless someone, and they see that, and God is leading you in the way you could go. Because some people, like I said, they have this writing or these skills or what have you, and they just don't have an avenue for it. But God knows what's best for us.
To me, you write down what your experience and what's in your heart, you know, that affects you in life, period. Just sit down, start writing, and you never know where it's going to take you.
And you're so right there. Now, on your books there, where do you see yourself going in your writing? Because we know that you do have a vision and you do have goals. Where would you like to go with your writing?
No, I can't say I want to be the next Maya Angelou, but that is even one of my goals. That is one of them. I want to be the next Maya Angelou. I call myself the sister, Maya Angelou sister. Because I love the way she speaks. And I want to just encourage people that, you know, to do that. And as far as my goals, that is one of them. But I want to be a successful writer. And I also write music. I write gospel rap, gospel music. I write love songs. I'm just versatile. I just love to write.
You just love to write. That's great. That's great. And, you know, our show is set up toward our young people. And we have young people that are very gifted and talented in writing and acting and performing. And we want them to be able to harness that gift and use it to the glory of God. And God will make them successful at it.
Yeah, I love when young people, especially in the church, when they get up and just do what they have to do and just bless everybody in the church. I just love it. I listen to more young people stuff. I really do. And I love it because God using them from a baby on up, just using young people. And I just love it.
Oh, that's so, so true. Now, would you care to share another piece of your poetry from your Black Gumbo?
Yes, sir. My Brother Lewis, this is the one I call Black Gumbo. It goes like this. Black gumbo, as unreal as it may seem, black gumbo is now a part of history. High stakes, orange alert danger, who was a stranger in New Orleans when she arrived on August the 29th, 2005. Now, because of this unwelcome stranger who shook shape and shimmied her way through our streets unauthorized, when she came in with a vengeance. She made more people cry. Some even died because of the black eyes and the black sky that left a hole in the heart of a city that once rumbled. But to me, it's a city I'll now call Black Gumbo. Black as the night that skim across the wild blue yonder. I wonder how black a night can be when it was day in reality. After her hard hits or right and left jabs that grabbed our attention, I don't want to fail to mention how she dismantled cars and houses alike. She even managed to turn off all the lights. Hurricane Katrina was the name of this stranger that stumbled on a city that once rumbled. But to me, it's a city I now call Black Gumbo.
Oh, thank you, my sister, for sharing that with us. That's a very moving piece of poetry there. That's out of that's out of your book, Black Gumbo, City in New Orleans there, about New Orleans, brother. And this has been a great interview. This has been a great interview. And then before we let you go, we would just like to talk about your third book.
Yes.
Your third book that talks it's on the our show is called Free on the Inside, so we had a freedom to do these things, you know. So we're going to bring that book on here also, and we thank you for sharing. We thank you for having the freedom to write this book, because some people, they see the book and say, oh, how could you do this? How could you write that? But you know what? God gave you the freedom to write this.
That's
amen. And go ahead and share that there with us, because I love the title of that, and you give us some thoughts that you that helped provoke you to write this book.
Okay, now this book, my recent book, is called a short story about Eve. It was not an apple. I say, oh, my God, people are not going to believe this. But anyway, it was published by Publish America in 2012. In this book, the prefix starts out by saying, the second paragraph, although the subject of Eve is so widely spread in many religions and their views on this subject matter, I have chosen to state the facts from the King James Version of the Bible and a few of my own views on Eve. A short story about Eve is a study Bible book. It refers you to read some scriptures in Genesis along with the story. And when you read the back cover, let me read it. It reads as follows. It says, in the beginning, God, he created man, and out of man, he created woman. This woman was an ordinary woman with an extraordinary task. The man's name was Adam. Adam looked upon his wife and named her Eve. Eve means the mother of all living. Their life in paradise was a life worth living. From life in paradise to life as we know it today, one bite from the tree of the forbidden fruit turned their lives upside down. But this forbidden fruit was an apple, was not an apple as we once thought. As you read the story, you will find out for yourself that this fruit was indeed the forbidden fruit. When you read this book, keep an open mind and an active imagination. Soon you will find that the facts are not fiction and the characters are real.
Amen. Amen. Yes, this morning here, we'll just encourage you to just kick back and relax and enjoy the conversation here. Amen. And we have Mr. Aaron Thomas. By Design magazine, and he's going to come on here shortly.
Hello.
Good morning there, Mr. Thompson. How you doing?
Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing great. Welcome to our weekly internet program here. And as we come on to the program here, we will just thank you very much for being a guest this morning.
Well, I appreciate the opportunity to be on your show.
Well, God bless you. I tell you what, introduce yourself and tell us about your gifting.
Well, my name is Aaron Thomas. I am the founder and CEO of By Design Magazine. The gift that I have is God has given me is the gift of publication, this magazine, which is called By Design Magazine, Christian magazine. What I can say about By Design Magazine is it's unique, it's different. It's definitely something for Christians across the board. I'm not looking for anyone to kind of label it or anything, just anyone that loves to be encouraged, inspired, and definitely looking for something to keep them entertained, and then also remember that God is present in their lives.
Hey, man, that's great, that's great. As I'm looking at your magazine here, what a beautiful magazine here, what a beautiful layout you have. As you are publishing this magazine, what targeted audience are you attempting to reach?
Well, again, like I said before, I don't really want to feel like I'm targeting one particular group because the reason why I say that, I feel like as Christians, there is no label. I feel like God is across the board. He wants everyone to know the message. And so as By Design Magazine grows, of course, I may seem like I, you know, look at more the African-American community because I can identify with that, because I am African-American, but my thing is, as Christians across the board, I want everyone to be able to, and even of all ages, to be able to identify with By Design.
All right, that's great. Now, give us some history on this magazine. How did this come about? Because this is nice. I'm looking at it now. This is beautiful.
Well, By Design is now, we're almost 2 years old. In August 2013, we will be 2 years. And how I got started is By Design is it started out as an event planning services because we would do and still do Christian events. And what I wanted to do is I was meeting a lot of individuals that was in the Christian realm, and they was doing, we were doing different dance ministries, artistry such as poetry, and each one of these individuals had a story because I would always ask them or get feedback behind them. And what I wanted to do is place all those stories because everyone has a journey. And it was very inspirational to get those stories. And I combined all those things that I enjoyed doing, music, dance, singing, and I asked God to give me something that would help people and encourage people. And he gave me this vehicle and bottom line.
Oh, that's great. That's great. Now, tell me about some of the articles. How do you go about getting your articles for your magazine?
A lot of times the articles, I sit down pretty much throughout the month, and I write down my ideals. And I really take the time to go to my different classes, such as church, and I look and I listen to different things that's going on. And a lot of times the articles are brought up either because there's issues I feel that need to be addressed, or either there's things that we as Christians maybe need to, look at and or understand with a little bit more understanding. And so I get those articles based spiritually. I ask for answers and then also just listening what's going on in people's lives.
All right. I know that you're not doing this yourself. Now, what about your staff? How many people you have on your magazine staff?
We have a team of 5 to 6 people. And, of course, I could not do this alone. But I do have a great editor-in-chief, Vanessa Lane. I have, of course, the team that writes is Raven Miles. And, of course, we have Bridget Clark and Hypnotic, Gunter, Christy Gunter. And we have all of them that help make up this great publication. And each month we all get together and we come up with the concepts that needs to be addressed. I do come up with the theme, but I do allow the writers to do the ministry part of it and start to go forward.
All right. Now, Tim, where can we pick this magazine up at? Because this is a great magazine here.
You can purchase our magazine. I always say the best way to get it is to contact me directly through my email, which is bydesigneps@hotmail.com. The reason why I say that is directly send an email to us because that way you'll be able to request how many you want. And then, of course, I can communicate with you via email and just to thank you for the opportunity and get them out. If you would like to see the different ones that we have done, you can also go to our website, which is bydesign26thomas.webs.com.
All right. I see. I'm looking at your magazine right now, and I see you have a section here saying a poet heart here. Are you accepting individual poetry from individuals, church members, Christians?
I mean, if there's anyone that is interested in having their work public or anything like that, they can definitely email us, and we can communicate with them, and we can, try to help them along and, put those publications aside.
Oh, that's great, Dad. That's great. And as a young person that's trying to develop their talents in writing and journalism, what advice would you give them if they would like to just be a writer?
Well, I would say anything that you want to do in life is a journey. You should always seek God in everything that you do. Always ask Him and seek Him. And then once you've gotten that answer, just continue to learn. Get the education you need. Don't be afraid to ask questions or mentor someone that is in that area. If you don't have anyone to mentor, read books, surf the net to get understanding about how those things can be done. But I would encourage them first to ask God, and then speak out those things. He will give you those tools and those people in your life to get you where you need to go.
Oh, that's great. That's great. Now, I was looking at your magazine here, and I see it's very affordable.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Now, how often has your magazine been published?
The photography that I put in there, I tried to tell a story with the photography along with the story. And what I do is when it comes to life, whenever a story, it's a background that goes with that story. If you look at some of the backgrounds, it's kind of like the scenery of the city of Fort Worth. Sometimes it may be a background of a garden or something because of the story or the article or the poem may require something like that. So,
Hey, I'm afraid that's going to have to end that interview that with Mr. Aaron at By Design Magazine. Our time is drawing to a close here. We want to thank you for supporting this program, Free on the Inside, each Saturday morning from 8 to 9. Join us once next Saturday for some more great interviews, more great topics, and also just being able to just be encouraging one to another. Thank you very much for continuing to support this show. Happy New Year to each and every one of you. Looking forward to us doing great things for the Lord in this year 2016. Before I get out of here, I'd like to give a shout-out to our sponsor and CEO, Granny's Place. We're going to be over at Crestview Apartments today, introducing them to our mentoring program and to Granny's Place. So keep us in your prayers. We pray things go well, and God get the glory. We're going to thank her staff and everyone. They're going to gather up over there at 10 o'clock. We're going to be over there until about 1:30 today. And so we'll give you a report on it next week. But if we get ready to get out of here with a word of prayer, gracious and heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you. Thank you, dear Lord, for your grace and your mercy. Thank you, dear Lord, for what you're doing amongst your people. Thank you, dear Lord, for how you continually to work with each and every one of us through our faults and our failure. Dear Lord, as we do this program each and every week, we give you the honor and we give it to you as a token of love, dear Lord, because we know we can't do anything apart from you. We thank you for our past guests, dear Lord. We thank you for our future guests, dear Lord, for you are our program director. Dear Lord, we pray today, dear Lord, that somebody's eyes be open to what you have in store for them. We pray that someone else be open, dear Lord, that they can hear that you love them, dear Lord, that you sent your son to die for them. We pray these in the name of Jesus, and everyone be safe and be strong in the Lord until we meet again next week at the appropriate time. God bless you, and again, you're listening to Free on the Inside, Minister Joel Lewis. And so I have a great day. Give me a call next week. Give me a report of how God has been blessing you. Amen. There is a word especially for you.